teachers at this time, and they're going to be singing. Y'all stand up and turn around and wave to somebody like this. You don't have to say nothing, just turn around and wave to everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce.
Good to see you this morning. Good to be in the Lord's house with you. Would, let's all join in and praise the Lord and lift our voices to the Lord.
Creating one, God. what we were mentioning, prayer request, well, I meant to mention Lynn Haynes. He is going to go back and see some more doctors. Lynn is having, I think, stage 3. She's had kidney failure. She was in, so we need to remember Lynn this morning also. A lot of folks in our church are suffering with different things and sicknesses. We need to lift up in prayer. Before we go to 1 Thessalonians this morning, chapter 5, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, but I won't give you time to go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to be talking about knowing the seasons or not knowing the seasons before Jesus comes back. And so before we go there, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we just thank you that we can come to you in prayer. Father, this morning that we can lift up our concerns, we can lift up our joys, we can lift up our thanksgivings, we can lift up our adoration this morning to you. And Father, today that as we come into your word, we pray that if there's somebody here or watching on live stream needs to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this would be the day that they would do so. And Father, today, just enlighten us through your word. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. But the times of the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now, the reason is, he said, because you know, look what he says in the next verse, the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Now, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for Jesus' coming back. We need to be prepared by having Jesus in our heart. We need to be prepared by looking for the return of Christ at any moment. He said, I don't have to write to you about seasons. Now, I know a lot of people talk about seasons, and a lot of people talk about what's going on. I've even said, I think the return, and I really believe this, of Jesus is closer now, and we see things going on in our society, we see things going on around the world that would point to the fact that it may be soon, and very soon, that Jesus comes back for the church, that he raptures the church out, as we talked about in chapter 4. He said, you don't need somebody to tell you about the seasons. You can look around and see what is happening. You can look around and see what is going on and realize that in our society. Because he tells us something in the next section that a lot of people will find curious. We think that before Jesus comes, there's going to be all this calamity, and there is probably going to be. But all of a sudden, a ruler pops into the scene that is going to proclaim safety and peace. There's going to be a proclamation of safety and peace. And there may be even a time that the world has not seen since the creation of safety and peace. There will be a world leader that will bring nations together and combine things. It may not be exactly, and it ought to be an indicator to us right away when this happens, that it won't be long till Jesus comes. I really believe this. The Antichrist is not going to wait until the church is raptured out before he begins to appear. I believe we will see the Antichrist and his appearing and his beginning to rule here on earth before the church is raptured out of the world. And the world is going to be following after him because of he can do these things. He's brought peace. He's cured diseases. He's got rid of world hunger, and there's prosperity, and everything looks good. And then the catastrophe. Then the end. Then it's going to happen. He said, because that he comes as a thief in the night. It's easy to say that Jesus is coming back when all this bad stuff is going on, right? But when it happens, it looks like, according to Paul and the Word of God, it's going to be in a time of prosperity. When the Antichrist is ruling and things are looking good. And then the rapture. He said, keep your eye out. Keep watching. You can see it. You will see it unfold around you. And you'll know that it's unfolding. But he said, says, I don't have to write to you these things because you know that when it happens, it's going to be a thing. We know that nobody is ready. Nobody is, I shouldn't say he's going to tell us to be prepared. It's going to happen when the world doesn't expect it. I said this the other week. I wonder how CNN and CNBC is going to explain it. That millions of people just left the earth all at one time. It's going to be hard for the news organizations to explain, isn't it? Everything's going so good. Everything's going so good. And then look what happens. He said, then sudden destruction comes upon them. The church disappears, and the 7 years of tribulation begin. The only thing keeping the world from falling apart, I know there's a lot of people in the world don't want to hear this. The only thing keeping this world together is the church and God's love and God's care and God's nourishment and God's provision for the church. Once the church is gone, now there will be, somebody said, and I used to didn't think so, but I've been reading more and more, and there's no need to have 144,000 witnesses if people aren't going to get saved during the tribulation. There's no need of God sending two witnesses back if people aren't going to be saved. But I want you to understand this. Once the church, as we know the church, as the people of God who are born again, saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins, is raptured out of here, just to use an old expression, all hell's going to break loose. Because God's protection on this earth has been based on His protection of us. God's watching over us. God has made promises and provisions to His people and to the church and us today. And He protects us and watches over us. If it wasn't for the church being here and the Holy Spirit and what my ministry over the church, just imagine, you can imagine how bad this world would be. But the church, he says, when they say peace and safety, then there's sudden destruction. Then there's as if travail upon a woman with child. And he says, and nobody will escape. Why won't anybody escape? Because the church is gone. Everybody is going to have to, if they did not get raptured out, everybody that did not get called out, called up with the church, and in the last chapter, guess what happens? They're caught in the tribulation. And it's going to get worse for 7 years. First 3 years, somebody said, may not be so bad, but those last 3 years are going to be terrible. Or 3.5 years. But it's coming. It's going to happen. God has never broken a promise. God's word has never changed. We can go back to the Old Testament and read God's promises to the children of Israel and the things that He did for them and the way that He judged it. All the things in the Old Testament. God never breaks His covenant. God made a covenant with us through Jesus Christ. He never breaks His covenant. Jesus said, I am going to return. And He is going to. But He said, brethren, you are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Once you become a Christian, we didn't get saved for fire assurance. That's assurance against the fires of hell. We didn't get saved so that we'll get a free ride someday to heaven. We got saved to serve Him and to learn about Him and to live for Him here on earth, and that we would not be caught off guard when the day comes. That we're ready to meet Jesus. He said that day should not overtake you as a thief does. Now, thieves are never expected, are they? How many, anybody in here been robbed, had their house broken into? Were you expecting it? No, if you were, you'd been home, wouldn't you? And you had the police there if you were expecting it, right? Nobody ever expects a thief when he comes because a thief is sneaky. And he comes. And he said, you should not be overtake you as a thief. Listen, the rapture should not overtake you, because, and you should not be caught unprepared, because you know, you look around, and you have Jesus Christ in your heart here prepared, and when he calls you, go up. Because he says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. Jesus told the disciples, you are. Jesus was the light of the world, but then he gave his disciples this. You are the light of the world. We're Christ's example here on this earth, and we are the light. We have the light in us, and we have the light all around us. We're the children of the light. We're the children of the day. We're not of the night, and we're not of the darkness. He said, for therefore, let us not sleep as others do, as do others. But let us watch and be sober. He said, a lot of people, majority of the world, is not ready. A majority of the world is sleeping. A majority of the world has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I tell people all the time, I belong to the most exclusive club in the world. They look at me and I say, it's the church. Because the only people that are members of the church are the only people who are really Christians, Christianity, not church, Christianity are those who were born again and have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because there is no other way to God but through him. It's an exclusive club when you look around. There's 7.5 billion people in the world, and yet less than a billion, and when we say a billion, around a billion people claim to be Christian, and that entails a lot of things that aren't Christian, okay? That entails a lot of cults and everything else. So, if that was true, that 1 billion people out of 7.5, one out of every seven people you know is dying and going to hell are going to be left behind. That'll break your heart. You've been called to be the light of the world that shares the good news, that tells others about Jesus Christ. You know, somebody said, well, the church hadn't been able to do much because of the virus. I'm going to tell you something. The church is never at a time when it can't do much. We're always at a time when we can do a lot because we have Jesus Christ. We just got to find different ways to do it. Maybe live streaming. Maybe calling your neighbor, calling your friend. Maybe sending out mail outs. How many of you sent snail mails lately? Maybe you just need to write people and invite them to church, or invite people to come to know Jesus. Send out the Word of God. We've got the campaign going on here pretty soon, starting in Davis McLean's. I think Buck Creek is already involved in it, getting it, doing it, going door to door. We've got a community we've signed up, or we've been assigned to share Jesus with all the way out to 795, whatever that road is out there, way out of yonder. We got out to 795, south of 250, and all the way back, all the way over to the county line here and up to the south side of 1080. We've got a lot of homes we've been assigned to by the state convention, and we've got to go out there getting the tracts and packs together, and they want us to go door to door, just hang them on doors with the gospel plan and the plan of salvation in those, so that we can share. Somebody said, well, aren't you worried about getting them out? I said, you don't have to talk to them, just hang it on the door. If they come to the door, step back and tell them who you are and what you're doing. Just hanging on the door. Get the gospel message out there. In this day and time that we're living in, people need the gospel, and we need to be the light of sharing the good news, because there's coming a day when they're going to be called asleep and they're going to be left behind. I know people don't like to hear that anymore, but I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people are going to be left behind, one out of every seven. But probably more than that. And the people of the world today will be left behind because they were unprepared and did not know Jesus Christ. Isn't that sad? Don't that break your heart? Don't that break your heart? If that doesn't break your heart, there's something wrong. To know that one out of every seven, or a little over every seven people, could be left here when the church is raptured. I don't want that to be on my record. I'd like to say one out of everybody.
I know that's not going to happen. But wouldn't you like to share Jesus as you never have before? He said, don't need to catch us off guard. He said, therefore, do not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate. Look what he says here. Put on the breastplate of faith and of love. We need to put on the breastplate of faith and love. When we go to battle, when a soldier went to battle in those days, he had the helmet, he had the breastplate, he had the shoes. We know all that from the armor of God that Paul gives in other places, but we need to put on the breastplate. Logan, when you were overseas, did you wear a protective vest? We wear them today now. They've got their bulletproof or protective vests. They're supposed to, I don't know how bulletproof they are, but they're supposed to slow them down anyhow, right, Logan? We put on a breastplate. And he says it's a faith. We need to put on faith and we need to put on love. We need to be loving one another. The breastplate of faith. We need to be demonstrating faith and love. We're at war with the enemy, and we need to put on that breastplate so we can go out and show people what faith and love is. He said that we need to put on the helmet, the hope of salvation. We need to wear our helmets. We need to wear our helmets. Now, Roy, I remember back when Gerald Ford was president, they used to make fun of him because he wore a leather helmet when he played football. You know, they used to wear those. That's all they had. They said he had his bell rung too many times. You know, I don't know if y'all remember that or not. But we need to put on good helmets, don't we? The hope of salvation. The assurance of salvation. We need to walk and talk and live in the assurance of salvation. That's our helmet. It guards our head. It guards our minds. It guards what we think. We need to, the way that we think and perceive and ought to be through the Word of God and through God. I tell people this all the time. Your worldview, the way that you decide things financially or politically or anything else in your life, ought to be based on the Word of God and nothing else. That's the helmet of salvation. You allow God to put your thinking in. You allow God to do your thinking. You allow God's Word to penetrate your mind. And you realize the salvation of God's Word, of God. And you allow that to make your decisions and how you do things. And how you make your daily decisions. I've shared this before. I have had young couples come in, and sometimes they're not so young, they'll say, we want to get married. We just in love. And you sit down and talk to them, and one of them's not saved, and the other one is. That's not good. You know, everything, I said, have you prayed about this? And sometimes they're two Christians, and I said, have you prayed about it? Well, what for? We love each other. Listen, every decision, that's a major decision. Every decision you make ought to be based on what the Word of God says. And it'll be based on God's Word. That's what a Christian worldview says. We talk about worldviews in the day, and a lot of people talk about their worldview, and they say, well, there's no absolutes. How many of you heard that? There's no such thing as absolutes. Can I tell you something? That's not true. I'm going to chase a rabbit. That's not true. John Lucas from Star Wars got that all wrong. Obi-Wan was fighting the guy that was going to be Darth, you know, his apprentice. Help me, Drew.
Anakin.
And Anakin says there are absolutes, and Obi-Wan says there's no absolutes. That's a lie of the dark side. Can I tell you something? That's a lie of the dark side will tell you there is no absolutes. God's Word says there's absolute things. There's absolute wrongs, and there's absolute rights. There are things that are wrong, there are things that are sins, and that has not changed. I got an email yesterday, a text from several people, kind of upset me. While we as Christians have been arguing over masks, Congress and the Supreme Court are thinking about making pedophilia part of transgender. That's what they say. They're going to ask that 8-year-olds be declared adults. There's a whole association that's grown up in America that's going to, and they're latching on to the gay marriage and lesbian, transgender movement. And it's all about pedophilia. You know what? We've been asleep. We've been arguing about things that aren't important when the most important things going around us is the way the world is, and the world's missing out on the absolute truth. God's principles and God's has not changed. The way of salvation has not changed. The way of eternal life has not changed. The way you're supposed to live your life has not changed. God has a set rules. My Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now I want you to watch this, though. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. You hear that? God has not appointed anybody. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. People say, well, God, why would God send you to hell? God has never sent anybody to hell. We send ourselves, because He sent His Son Jesus, it says there, that who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with Him. God sent His Son. He died for us on a cross at Calvary, and He rose again, and is alive today. And we have to choose. Somebody said, well, God sends people to hell. No, God, I said this a while ago, God never sends anybody to hell. We send ourselves there if we choose not to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You made the choice to deny Jesus. You made the choice not to follow Jesus. Or you made the choice to follow Jesus, who died for us. Here's a message to the church, he says, and we'll close with this message this morning. And we'll pick up chapter 5 next week. Wherefore, he says, comfort yourselves together. Here's that word comfort. Second time we've seen it used in 1 Thessalonians. Remember last time we saw it was in the last verse of chapter 4. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is going to, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And those of us who remain are going to be caught up in the air. Comfort yourselves with these words. Jesus died for you and rose again. And if you have accepted Him as Lord and Savior, there is no hope like that. There is no other hope. And if you've accepted it, comfort one another. Comfort yourselves together, he says. Man, we're in church, we ought to comfort together. Because we got something in common. I hope we do. I hope we do. And that's Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may be Kentucky fans, some of you might be Louisville fans, that's okay. But the one thing you ought to have in common is Jesus Christ. Right? Some of you may be Democrats, some of you may be Republicans. Hey, but we have to comfort ourselves together in Jesus Christ. Come together in Jesus. We have mutual comfort. And look what he says as we're closing this morning. Edify one another. Even as you also do, we ought to be building each other up. Oh, I tell you what. So many times, as Christians, we spend so much time tearing each other down. That's wrong. As Christians who have accepted Jesus Christ, we ought to be building one another up. Now, if I've truly accepted Christ and I need to be corrected, then you correct me and I'll accept the correction if it's what needs to be done. Or if I correct you. Because next week he's going to jump in about preachers a little bit. But if the pastor corrects you for what you're doing or saying, don't be like those stiff-necked people he talked about in Sunday school this morning would not receive wisdom. That would not receive wisdom. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And he said, stubborn people will not receive correction. They just do not want to be Listen, I don't want to be that way. I want to be edified. I want to be built up. Sometimes to get built up, I have to be strengthened, right? We talked, if you miss Sunday school this morning, we had some good stuff this morning. Discipline, your children, and discipline. Woo. Sue said she just loved to discipline grandchild. She didn't discipline her grandchildren, but she loved them to be disciplined when they got there, right, Sue? Yes, okay. And so, man, discipline. We learned a lot this morning. But can I encourage you this morning? Be a builder up of somebody. Not always looking to tear your brother or sister down in Jesus Christ. You know, I've heard several people talk about how the ministers in McLean County get along. Listen, we don't have the same doctrines. Some of our doctrines, some of our teachings are a little different. But one thing we do have in common is Jesus Christ. One thing we have in common is Jesus Christ. That we're all born again. And so the question is, this morning, if you're out there listening and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, why haven't you accepted Him? He's calling to you. He's the only hope that you have. Or maybe this morning as a Christian, maybe the thing is, have you been letting God, or have you been building others up? Have you been loving and comforting others? What have you been doing? Listen, start out talking about the last days. But this is something we need to be doing every day. Is building up and comforting one another in Christ Jesus. Are you up to it? Have you been doing it? Will you start it tomorrow? Will you start it today? In this very moment. Let's pray together. Father God, we do thank you today that, Father, we can come to your house and we can worship together here. Father, we, first of all, as Christians, want to pray that we would be edifiers. We would be comforters. We would be builders up and not tearers down. We would see those around us who are hurting, and we would bring them comfort. Comfort if it could only be found through Jesus Christ. Father, today, that as we pray, that as we bow here this morning, Father, there may be somebody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ. There may be somebody watching on live stream this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, today, your Son's calling to them. Your Holy Spirit is speaking to them. And Father, they're praying, saying, Father, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. And I believe that He's the one who died for me on the cross, took away sin, and then rose again on the third day, and is alive today. I say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I call upon you. The Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. Would you call upon Him today? If you're here this morning, you've called upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time, we'd invite you to come to one of these two corners right here in this area. Or go to the conference room in the back. God's speaking to your heart. You meet us there, and we'll talk and pray. Or maybe this morning you're online. You're watching live stream. You're watching on YouTube, Facebook, however you're watching it this morning. Listening to us on the podcast later this week. And you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. We want you just to type it on your phone right now, or call the church, identify yourself to the Facebook page, or I tell you, every week you can call me at 499-1168, area code 279, and we'll talk about Jesus Christ, and having the peace of salvation and eternal life. And Father, now as we give this invitation, we do so now, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. We're going to stand together this morning. Becca's going to play for just a few more seconds. If God's speaking to your heart, you're in this place today, you need to come here. Maybe you need to come this morning and you want to join our church by letter or by statement. Or follow the baptism. Would you not step out and come this morning as God's dealing with your heart?
right now in this place.
Witness to those that I know you. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.